is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
More of these burglaries, attempted burglaries out in the valley. The Uber lot at LAX is going to change. First, though, more fallout from the huge computer outage.
Yeah, the company behind the massive meltdown nearly a couple of weeks ago has now been hit with a class action lawsuit. It claims the company assured investors that its platform was validated, tested, and certified. But in the reality, the company didn't have enough procedures in place for testing and updating its platform. Delta Airlines says the outage caused a financial catastrophe, cost them $500 million. Delta CEO Ed Bastian was on CNBC this morning, says it is time for the big computer security companies to share their resources to protect their customers.
People don't realize Microsoft and CrowdStrike are the top two competitors around cyber with each other. So they don't necessarily partner right at the same level that we need them to. And so I think this is a call to the industry. Everyone talks about making sure big tech is responsible. Well, guys, this cost us $500 million.
Yeah, the outage was caused when CrowdStrike pushed out that software update, crippled thousands of Microsoft-based computer systems around the world. Delta says it was forced to cancel 4,000 flights. Travelers, they felt it stranded. Some for days had to struggle to track down their luggage and still trying to get reimbursed.
What are your thoughts on the taxi Uber Lyft lot for LAX near the LA exit lot? They moved it from the terminal, so you couldn't get to one of the ride shares there. You had to take the shuttle bus all the way around, go to the special lot. Well, they're going to move it again in the next few years. The plan has been for the lot to relocate to a stop along the People Mover line once that's done. But, of course, there's been delays on the People Mover project. So LA Times is now saying People Mover should be done by January of 26. And then that whole ride-hailing lot, that's going to move again right thereafter.
Up to the San Fernando Valley, this time in Tarzana. Burglars hit a neighborhood there, but one of the residents fought back. Let's get the story live this morning from our John Baird.
It's pretty amazing. This neighborhood's not far from the corner of Tampa Avenue, Ventura Boulevard. The man's name's Julian. He has this trailer out in front of his property. He calls it a man cave. It's outfitted with cameras. In fact, he says he has dozens of cameras around the whole property. And last night, about 10 o'clock, he sees a small SUV rolling up and down the block, maybe casing the area. Then the vehicle comes to a stop pretty much right across the street in front of a neighbor's home, a really nice home, which has gates to the driveway that parks right next to the home. And three people jump out in hoodies, climb the gate, jump in to the property. He runs out with this powerful flashlight and this pepper ball gun. When they see the light, they run back, they jump the fence, they run to the getaway car, and they take off as he's shooting at them with the pepper ball gun. Neighbors are praising Julian this morning for doing this, but they're upset about all the break-ins. So what do you think about this?
I think it's horrible. It's very bad.
But he took action.
He took action.
He's the hero in the neighborhood.
He's the hero of the neighborhood, but we are hearing more and more of this. And I ask, where is our tax money? Where is our police? Where is the deterrent?
Police say they're working the burglaries. They've had a surge in one Encino neighborhood, up 40% compared to last year, and five burglaries in the past week alone. Mike and Vicky.
John, thanks. Traffic deaths in L.A. holding steady, but at a very high level. Only down a little bit first half of this year from what was a record last year. Crosstown looks at the numbers, says 170 deaths from January 1st to July 13th. Puts the city on pace to maybe get over 300 by the end of the year. Hit and runs also up. LAPD says 62 felony hit and runs for the first half of the year, double the amount from just a few years ago.
Fred Siegel has closed its remaining clothing stores. The fashion brand had 9 stores in the state, plus locations in Switzerland and Taipei. But the pandemic and the changing retail landscape forced the last two L.A. stores to close on Tuesday. Fred Siegel has been an L.A. staple since 1961, when the first store opened in West Hollywood. A home furnishing store under Fred Siegel's name will remain open in Culver City. A lawyer who reps the family said this is not the end of the Fred Siegel brand, but didn't elaborate.
In Northern California, Park Fire is a week old, still growing. CBS correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti.
For Mike Wittenberg, it's an emotional return home.
There's just so much gone now. I don't know where to start.
The mountaintop house he shared with his fiance and their two young children reduced to rubble and ash.
How do you tell them what happened to home?
I don't know.
The Park Fire is now California's 5th largest wildfire in recorded history.
Do you plan on rebuilding here?
We're still kicking it around. I think it's just too early to know.
It's a decision many who lost a home now have to face. Jonathan Vigliotti, CBS News, Forest Ranch, California.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. Talk more about what's been going on in Rancho Palos Verdes. Again, another meeting tonight for the community. Back on Monday, we had the story of the homes. 135 of them had the gas shut off. SoCal Gas saying it's the land movement. We had to. But the homeowner saying, where was the warning? We only got 2 days. Now there's concern, too, about the electricity, the power. The mayor of RPV is John Cruikshank.
John, good morning.
Good morning.
I cannot imagine being told that my gas would be shut off indefinitely. I mean, water heaters, stoves, ovens, dryers. A lot of people have appliances like these. They need gas. What are people going to learn from this meeting tonight?
Well, first of all, you're right. Given 3 days' notice to have their gas shut off was quite a shock to the 135 home owners in that area. It's not indefinite, but of course, there's no time scale because the gas company felt that their system holistically was in jeopardy and at risk, and that's why they took that action. Tonight, we do have a town hall meeting at 6 o'clock at our Ladera Linda Community Center, and we're going to spend at least 3 hours answering as many questions as we can from our residents.
Does the gas company have a plan, and what is it? And do we have clarification on why now? Because, I mean, I don't have to tell you, but the land's been moving for a long time.
No, right. I mean, the land's been moving since the 1950s. It's the last couple of years is where it's been much worse than ever before because of the rainfall. And in terms of why now, the explanation was is that they had discovered that some of their underground lines were in such disrepair that they felt that throughout their entire system in the Portuguese Bend landslide area, that they felt it was too great of a risk to have all of those pipes out there with the potential of a gas rupture. And as you know, we're in a very high fire zone as well. So a lot of risk for the homeowners.
So I said indefinitely, and you said not indefinitely, but we don't have a timeline. I have been without power, let's say, for 1 day, and it was pretty terrible. I didn't like it at all, right? So anything more than a day, I mean, it's terrible. How possible is it that the electricity might also be cut?
I think the homeowners need to have the thought that there is a chance that the power could be cut off. And what was described to us by Edison was they have many of their overhead wires that within a day of having fixed them, they get to a point where they're stretched and with a threat of actually breaking. And then those also could spark and cause a fire as well. During our closed session meeting we had with the utility companies on Monday, we could actually hear emergency personnel driving by responding to one of those wires in the Seaview area that had sparked, and 40 homes lost their power for that duration after that incident.
When you talk to people in the area, I mean, what do they tell you? Now the gas is gone, and then they're in constant threat of losing power. I mean, again, to Vicky's point earlier, if you don't live there, you can't imagine.
Well, no, of course. And you know, I live in Rancho Palos Verdes, but I don't live in the landslide area. So you're absolutely right that I don't know what they're going through emotionally. I'm sure it's really very, very amazingly distressful, and we can only imagine. So the city wants to see all of our power and gas and utilities stay on. Unfortunately, our city doesn't have a lot of power to force them to do that. They're under the control of the CPUC and the governor. And so city wants to do everything we can to maintain all the power and gas. And that's why we're having these meetings. And that's why we're trying to figure out how to maintain that with our utilities.
I just can't stress enough how horrible this must be for these homeowners there. And they're caught between all these agencies. It's their home. It's their sanctuary. It's where they live. And I get that the earth is moving, you know, but this is just not acceptable. They had a home one day, and now their home is almost useless because they don't have all these services.
Well, and you know, we're used to the gas hookups and the power hookups. But remember, power could be brought to a home through generators. We can find alternate methods to replace gas with electric appliances. So there's a lot of different types of workarounds, and we're looking at all the different alternatives for our residents right now.
Mayor of Rancho Palos Verdes there, John Cruikshank. Again, the meeting, another one, is going to be tonight.
Boy, this is going to be a story for days and maybe weeks to come. Coming up, we're going to tell you why more L.A. restaurants may be offering outdoor dining and more meat possibly tainted. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
The top political leader for Hamas killed in an airstrike in Tehran in the Iranian capital. Assassination risks escalating the conflict. U.S. and other nations still scrambling to prevent a regional war. Professor of Middle East Studies at Georgetown says, yes, Iran could retaliate.
It's a big shocking development. Ismail Haniyeh, somewhat of the leaders of Hamas, would be assassinated. It's doubly shocking that it happens in the city of Tehran, which is, you know, an ally of Hamas, which is considered to be a safe area where Hamas leaders would be able to travel to. It also represents a huge embarrassment and humiliation for Iran that it can't protect its own allies in the region.
Vice President Kamala Harris is set to begin campaigning with her running mate starting on Tuesday. Big rally in Philadelphia. Speculation that she may be picking Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro because of the location of the rally. We talked about it with a political science professor this morning, Dr. Kristen Coopy, and she says picking a candidate based on a state that's needed to help with the election doesn't work.
There have been instances in the past where presidential nominees have chosen a vice presidential candidate thinking that it would help them with their state or the region, and you know, that just really hasn't panned out for them in the past. So with Pennsylvania being an important swing state, she might be thinking that if there's anything she can do to help sort of keep the coalition together, that would be great. But I don't necessarily think that's the end all be all for what she should be thinking about in terms of her vice president.
Back to L.A., city has given some restaurants a reprieve, means more dining outside when the weather's nice. Here's Bob Brill.
The deadline for restaurant owners to apply and participate in the Alfresco program or dining on the sidewalk has come and gone. Mayor Bass announcing that the Wednesday drop dead date has been expanded to the end of the year. The program began during the pandemic when people were encouraged to eat in the fresh air, and it helped keep lots of restaurants in the black. Once the pandemic ended, there was a move to clear the sidewalks for pedestrians. Restaurant owners fought back, so the city set up a program to allow it to continue, but it was expensive. More than 3,000 businesses have contacted the city about the program. Bass is pushing to have city departments work with restaurants to make it an easier transition. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Wall Street, not to mention the home building industry and political leaders, will be watching the meeting of the Federal Reserve today. Pete Demetrio says the key thing people may be looking for is hints of a future rate cut.
And that hint, according to Dr. Selma Hepp, chief economist at CoreLogic, is some reassuring words about both job growth and the rate of inflation.
Well, I think at this point, everybody is expecting the Fed to signal their intent of cutting the rates coming into September. So I think, you know, the data up until this point, the inflation readings have been favorable and in pointing to that direction. So again, I think they will at this point just signal their intent of lowering the federal funds rate in September.
Statements like that could signal a drop in interest rates down to between 5 and 5.25%, perhaps even lower by the end of the year. Something that could benefit businesses looking for capital to expand, would-be homeowners looking for a first mortgage, and it might cause a credit card APR interest rate drop as well. Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Our John Baird has been talking about the latest burglary in the San Fernando Valley in Tarzana this morning, where a resident went after a would-be burglar with a pepper ball gun. That was Tarzana, but Encino's really been hit hard in recent weeks. Almost a daily or nightly occurrence for burglaries. And while police are investigating, some who live in Encino say the solution comes down to neighbors knowing neighbors. We talked about it, the recent crime spree with Josh Sauter. He's the president of the Encino Neighborhood Council.
I think that that being safe, right, and feeling safe, that the first step is connecting with your neighbors, right? I think that we live in a world and in a society, especially in Encino, with the pandemic and everything, where people are disconnected. You know, I don't have any cameras, and I feel safe. You know, when you see, for example, that there was somebody outside of your car, you talk to your neighbor, was the person out next to their car, you know? And then you have a network of people who all of you are aware of this one person, potentially, who's out there. And then you can call the police.
Sauter says that a lot of people are home now in Encino at all times of the day and night, and they know the neighborhood better than anyone.
People are working from home. There are neighbors who are working from home, babysitters who are at home with their kids, women who are pregnant, women who with dogs. Men who were at home, you know, and a burglary can happen, as we've seen, at any time. And all you have to do is you have to create these little steps and measures to make it so that the burglar is not going to choose this particular place.
But, you know, some of these places are mansions meant to keep neighbors at a distance. So I asked how a neighborhood watch would work for people who are more isolated, right? There's the fences and the trees and the bushes and the shrubs. You know, how do you create that in those kinds of neighborhoods?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're having this big movie night event. It's on August 10th. It's a back to school movie night. It's at Encino Park. Our assembly member, Jesse Gabriel, is going to be there. Council member Nithya Raman is going to be there. We're going to have the police. We're going to have like a fire truck there. All these people are going to be there. And I'm going to tell you that like we're going to talk to all these people and everybody is going to say that they have a connection to somebody who was burglarized, right? And the first thing that you do is you ask them, you know, they live in a big house. If they live in a really big house, do you know your neighbors? And what you'll come across a lot of the time is that there are all these barriers to knowing where you live and knowing your neighbors. You know, like, I think that it honestly, Vicky, that it really just comes down to that. Like, the police cannot be everywhere at once.
Yeah, Sutter says they have about 200 members now on the Encino Neighborhood Council. But Neighborhood Watch, he says, is most effective in smaller groups, maybe street by street. So get the block captain, create a phone tree, and start watching out for each other. Police, of course, are investigating these crimes to find out if they're related or not, to make some arrests. And Sutter says a local council member is also working to put together a town hall to discuss the response in greater detail with the community.